Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Have you been seriously injured? Mama Justice is here for you. Our medical team partners with top-notch doctors, surgeons, therapists, and urologists, ensuring a comprehensive recovery journey. If you've been injured, call Mama Justice today. We're here for you.
Welcome to Weekend Gardening with your host, the Empress of Everything Green, Nellie Neal. Garden Mama's on the radio now to answer your questions and call you.
Oh, now that's a surprise. Somewhere out there, the wind chimes are ringing and the theme for the show is playing, but it's not playing in the studio. That's interesting. Well, welcome into the old-timey. This is the Garden Mama Show. Glad you all could be here today. Thank you very, very much for that. On this particular date in history, in 1975, the famous Brooklyn, New York pirate radio station began broadcasting on 1620 AM. That was out in the ocean. And it's another one of those interesting moments in radio history that if you don't know a whole lot about it, you probably would like to. So give yourself a chance to do a little bit of maybe don't get addled. That's another one of the words that people I kept hearing this week. If you do crossword puzzles, I do a few, I don't do as many as I used to, but if you do crossword puzzles, words appear and then you hear them all around you. And today, it's addle. I'm not addled. Are you addled? Is everything okay? Good morning. Welcome in. Guess who's here? Will East is here, the big guy. Thank you so much for getting up early this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
Certainly. Glad that you could be here. You know, something happened this week. We're all about the outdoors and the gardeners and the wildlife and whatnot. And I have to admit, I saw the headline, but what are we doing with a 500-pound black bear? tell me what's going on, sir. How did... They don't get that big, do they, usually?
Apparently they do. In Sharkey County, I guess.
Well, it's a lot of good food in Sharkey County. So.
And not a lot of competition from humans, because there's not a lot of people. There's, 250 people that live in that county.
Maybe so. Yeah. Well, and probably, if you're the dominant bear, you're going to get what you want anyway. So, there you have it. Fascinating stuff, though. How do we know this? Well, because the wildlife folks put trackers on creatures to see where they go and what they eat and where they hang out. I don't know all the details, but I know it was several years ago when this one removed his tag, and then they found him again. So, I must say that the name M18 just doesn't do it. I did note that. We're going to have to give that bear a better name. So if you have suggestions, send them to us today on the text line. No one will care except us, but we'll get a good laugh out of whatever your thoughts are. For a 510-pound Sharkey County black bear, there's many names to be had out there. Today, oh my goodness, I have been spending way too much time in the retail world this week. I have, and you'll begin to see this morning as we begin to show you some photos, there are so many poinsettias and Christmas cactus around that are just gorgeous. This is my number one tip today. Look at the center of the poinsettia, and if it is tight still, if there's not little yellow flowers popping out already, if it's still very tightly formed buds at the very center of all that redness or pinkness or whatever color, give yourself the opportunity to buy that one. If they're absolutely opened up, this one's already pretty far along in its maturity progression, and you probably want to pick a different one. Unless, of course, it's an incredible bargain. In that case, take it home and decorate with it. Or, as Mark was talking about when he was here recently, we really do like to use broken poinsettias or sometimes just trimmed ones because the plant looks so weird as cut flowers. And they're very, very excellent as cut flowers. Just burn the end to seal that latex in there and you'll have days and days and days of a beautiful flower in your vase. Why not? You know, why not? Some other things that are going on that will get attention today, looking at what's going on in the garden this week? What's going on this month? What's going on this season? What we need to do, what we can do? There's some ideas that I have. And there's also a really good question that came in this week from Will in Yazoo County. about preparing soil where you've already grown tomatoes. So I'm going to talk about that today. And whatever else is on your mind, give me a call, send me a text. It's a good day to, in some places, take a look at the effects of thermonasty. No, that's not anything ugly. I'm not finding a new way to curse. You've seen this in tomatoes in the springtime. When the temperatures get a little bit cooler than the tomatoes that you planted a little bit too early, they begin to curl, and nothing else happens to them. They just curl. Well, that curling is a response to sometimes cold, oftentimes cold, and it happens particularly in rhododendrons. So if you are on the East Coast, North Carolina particularly right now, they almost look like icicles coming off of the rhododendrons, but they're actually the leaves that are just curled and hanging down. They're just beautiful, but they're very, very different looking than an appropriate rhododendron leaf, and people have a concern just like they do when it happens to tomatoes. Happens to tulips. Tulips will close up on a cool night because they want to protect their pollen. You know, they're trying to be good citizens, so to speak, of the environment. So that it happens to them too. It's basically a change in the cell walls. We talk all the time about the necessity to use fertilizers to build cell walls for things like roses and tomatoes and one thing and another, that we need to be nice and long lasting and have very sturdy construction. And this is part of that. It is unequal cell elongation. I love that term. In other words, one side goes one way and the other side goes the other way, and the result is that they turn in on each other. So interesting stuff. That is thermonasty. So if you don't have anything to talk about tonight at the dinner table, you can bring that up. I think it would be fun. I am looking at bulbs, bulbs, bulbs. Oh my goodness. Speaking of going through retail, everywhere that I have been this week, somebody's got bulbs on sale, either a whole big bag of them or some that are already planted, like amaryllis, ready to take home and give as a gift. But there are also still lots and lots of daffodil bulbs out there, and frankly, all the others too, ranunculus, anemones, all of the things that we can still plant right now and enjoy in the spring. The perennials will be, of course, daffodils. The others, not so much, but they make a beautiful cut flower and a lovely spray of flowers in, for example, the flower bed where you might usually be growing zinnias in the summertime. Well, why not have ranunculus and anemones in there in the winter? Then you have some very early spring flowers, and it's a much better use of that space, I think. Lots of pieces of the puzzle coming together for now. Don't forget, please, to put water in that Christmas tree dish. If you have a real tree, there are things you need to do for it. If you don't have a real tree, you still need to dust the needles. Come on. The relatives are coming over. You need to clean that thing up. You know it. You know it's true. By the way, why is this not in my Christmas stocking? Can you possibly? The Queensland University of Technology research team has developed another flexible film, y'all. These are the folks that, well, they priced themselves out of the market on flexible film. It was great at work, but it couldn't be produced commercially. And now they're going to try and get things to put into, all of our devices. This is whether the inside of a computer or the inside of a mobile phone, to help keep things cool, and therefore, you know, wouldn't you love it if your laptop didn't heat up? That would be nice. Other potential applications could be for yourself, though. And this is where I think it's nifty. Your body heat is going to power the device that in turn is going to run whatever it is. Power your cell phone, keep your clothes cool, do things, but even particularly, for example, wearable clothes that would be cooler than you would be without them. That would cause us to have to invent new words because we wouldn't know how to talk about that. But you know it would be wonderful. Very small spaces, of course, have big problems anytime we try to fix anything. So getting into a tight space like that would be a whole lot easier if you had a flexible fabric. So I think this is great. Queensland is, they've got it. Now they're just trying to make it so that, you know, some of the rest of us can afford it, because right now it would be so expensive no one would be able to market it, at least not successfully. Might end up being part of research or part of some sort of science project or something. Pretty interesting stuff. I do appreciate y'all sending me the really very funny pieces of different puzzles, different animations. I think they are, and some, in some cases, they're Christmas cards. Keep them coming. This is really fun. But if you're out there also and you have an opportunity to take a picture of the sky today, send that to us on the text line. This archive that we're doing is not just limited to this particular time of looking at funny cartoons and beautiful poinsettias. This is a beautiful time of year. I don't know if y'all have taken a look around or not, but we're really very, very lucky. We've got such a great fall, and the color in Mississippi right now is outstanding. Usually we don't get to see that color unless we go to Tishomingo or somewhere. I mean, but the trees right here, because we had such a long fall, have actually had the opportunity to transfer all of their nutrients into their trunks, and that means that we get to see as the colors are revealed in the leaves. Just been a beautiful, beautiful one. And now, today, we've got a sky that is, quite frankly, just about got a line down the middle of it. It's gray on one side and real puffy cloudy on the other side. It's really pretty. That's what it looks like here in central Mississippi in Zone 8. Send me some pictures. I'd love to see what it looks like where you are today. You know, one of the things that we do at this point in the year is to think about next year. And human beings are just so, I mean, we can't help it. We always are trying to make sure that we know what's going to happen next. And if we don't know what's going to happen next, we can at least guess, right? In this particular case, this is the time of year. It's really important for you to begin with garden bones, okay? The bones of your garden are all of those things that stay when everything else is either lost its leaves or dies out and you replant it. These are their paths, their benches. They're your house itself, maybe your shed. But it's also things like the artwork that you display and the way that you put materials into your paths and the things that are just literally, if you took away all of the leaves, which hopefully you have some evergreens, so you don't take all of them away, but if you took all of that away, this is what you would see. It allows you to see whether or not your trees are growing at a rate that you expect, that thrifty growth that we talk about all the time here. It gives you the opportunity to see whether or not that trellis back there really needs to be tightened up and get some paint on it. Sometimes we don't notice that until the rose falls over, you know, so it's a good idea to look at that in the wintertime too. One of the things that I have been fascinated by is the things where you go and you literally can only see the garden art. If you don't ever see the plants, I feel like we're in a sculpture garden, and that's fine. But make it conscious, make it serious, intend it. When the structures and the paths and the main lines are all working together, the repetition of line and harmony really does give you the opportunity to see something pleasant and to put you at ease, even without flowers, perhaps even without leaves in some parts of it. On the other hand, if it's just a jangle and looks like a bunch of sticks, well, this is the time to think about what you might want to do to change some of that. Both big and little spaces in the garden can, of course, use all of these different kinds of ways to define and divide it, but be sure when you're looking at it right now, you're taking the pictures. Give yourself an opportunity to see what's there so that then later on you can come back and say, well, that looked okay, but over here I really need something. And that might be on your Christmas list. Give me a new bench. Could work. It could be the perfect thing. One of the things that, here we go. I knew we were going to get at least hear from Donald in Oxford. We're going to rename the bear. We're gonna call him a few things. I love this. Bayou Bernie. This is for Newsom Bayou in Sharkey County. Can we call him New? Would that be? No, he's a little too old for that, I guess. And Bernie for the Panther Burn. So I like that. That's a good one. We're going to hang on to that one. Thank you, Donald. Appreciate that. Beautiful, Ray. Gluckstadt looks gorgeous today. See, the yellow is just so much brighter this year. Used to have to drive around and look for a ginkgo tree to see any good yellow some falls. And this year, we've had a beautiful, beautiful bunch of things. They're all holding their leaves long enough and giving us the opportunity to take a look and see what some of those bones look like. What a beautiful trunk, too. Really lovely. Here's Northwest out of New Albany. Love that sky. Thank you, Alan and Pontotoc. That's just beautiful. See, it's stripes. It's really pretty. I like that. Really, really, really. Agreement on the pretty times of the year, Kathy in Zone 8. Oh, yeah, and I see that's a red, probably red maple back there because that's so red. Oh, that's lovely. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Kathy and I did do the plant swap, by the way, y'all. They're still alive, Kathy. I haven't killed them yet. Ooh, hey, Andrea. Andrea's in Madison. That's beautiful. Oh, my goodness. Y'all get join us at supertalk.tv. You can see some of these beautiful, beautiful colors and trees and whatnot. Let's see. Sarah's in Winona. Thank you so much for sending in your note today. She wants to know when to plant sunflowers. Sunflowers could kind of depends. If you're planting perennial sunflowers, those are the ones that have a flower that's about 3 inches across, and there's a whole lot of them on a stem, and they get to be about 6 feet tall. Those bloom in October, and they are perennial. You can plant them. Anytime you can find plants, you can plant them. If your neighbor has some that they want to share, this would be the perfect time for that. If you're going to grow annual sunflowers, those are warm weather crops, and we plant them. Usually we begin them in March in Zone 8. If you're in Winona, you might even wait till the end of March, but that not much later than that. And then you can plant them again a couple of times during the summer. Because they're really delightful. If you're growing gray mammoth, for example, which is the one that is the great big gray seed that you see for birds, but it's a big seed, striped one usually, that's going to take a longer time. That's more like 100 days. If you're growing some of the ones called like teddy bear, that's a plant that's about 2.5 feet tall and has 7 or 8 flowers on it, that one's not going to take maybe 2 months in the garden. So you can start some of them ahead of time. Others you want to direct seed. The bigger the flower, generally speaking, on a sunflower, the more likely it is to be better to direct seed. So I think that's important to know, too. Really pretty. Really, really, we're really very lucky. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. I love this. Beautiful blue sky. See, the clouds are just so tight. You know, they're in their own world. There's none of this swimming around stuff. I have a friend who sends pictures off the coast in North Carolina to me, and it always looks like the clouds are chasing each other because it's the ocean, you know. And here we've got really solid lines that are set up. It's like, okay, what are we going to do next? It's pretty, really, really pretty. One of the things that is talking about the bones in your garden, I'm going to do this at another time probably, but we don't talk enough about upright. We don't talk enough about how to get height into spaces that, you know, you think of trees, you might think of a column with a rose growing around it or something, but we don't always think about the ways to stage plants so that even a small container is up at an eye level or at some other view like that. We need to talk about that at another point. That'll be fun. You know, this time of year, I know a lot of people are traveling, so if you happen to be just rolling down the road and you hear this woman's voice, trust me, you're going to want to hang around. This is the Garden Mama Show on Super Talk. We'll be right back.
Gonna have a bag of crazy time to give the gardeners of girls and boys. So dig, Santa comes on big. Come calling when it snows the most. Cats are sleeping warm as toast. And you gonna flip when the old Saint Nick places a lick on the peppermint stick. You come a-flying from the higher place, fill the stockings by the fireplace. So you, ever you, that's good. Ever you, that's good. Yeah, cool, yo.
You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. A lot of businesses are losing opportunities to get new customers if they're not online. With the power of SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital, you can reach potential customers and get more referral and repeat business. The highly trained and trusted team at SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital is ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time.
Garden Mama here.
Holiday Road.
It's hard not to dance. It's very hard. It's very hard not to dance. Oh my goodness. So much silliness at this time of the year. I cannot possibly, you know, I have to give you one serious moment. This is the Christmas bird count week. So get yourself to audubon.org and figure out how to participate. There's a lot of different local groups. There's also national groups. There's forms. There's places to turn in what you find out. And it's all very, very helpful to both you and me, because we later on read what all these citizen scientists have done. That's you. You're the citizen scientist. You count what's there on a particular day. You report it into them. They collate all that information. And the next thing you know, we can understand the size, the timing, the effectiveness, how many birds are migrating, how many are not, what's, you know. And, of course, that all goes directly to their health, their well-being, and to the well-being of all of us who live with them. So it's an important piece of the puzzle. This is the particular perfect time for you to get involved if you've never done that before. Now, on the other hand, tomorrow is Cat Herders Day. So that's my life all the time anyway. But if you have never experienced cat herding, I encourage you. Well, no, I don't. But anyway, it's one of those expressions that has come along, I think, as much because it's descriptive, but also because it's animatable. You know? And as a result of seeing cats with cowboys and whatnot, we have taken that up as a big phrase. I don't know why tomorrow is Cat Herders Day, but it is. I have a friend who is a noble person. She's a flower grower and also a cat person. She has rescued I don't know how many cats at this point, but she's now attempting to rescue the mother and father of the many generations that she has kept. That she has kept from being eaten, you know, by critters in the woods. She lives out in the country, and it's really a daunting process, isn't it? Even when you know that you want to help them and want them to live a long life, these are outdoor cats, and they love her. They'll come right up to her, but how are you going to bring them in the house with all the other cats? I don't know. It's a very big dilemma. That is cat herding, and that is what you have to do. You have six in the house, and you have two outside. I've done my part. I've adopted one from her group, but that's all I can do. So, anyway, observe Cat Herders Day in the best way that you possibly can. I'm excited to tell you that the Thanksgiving Christmas cactus, the hybrids, all of them have been absolutely beautiful. Mine have been just florific. Yes, I am finally going to have to repot them. I told y'all last year I needed to, but I didn't do it. And the way we know that we have to is because literally not only are they the inner parts of the plant never seem to be wet. You can water, but there's no way for the water to go. The leaves are so thick on the soil. That's one thing. And when you put the water in the saucer, it can take it up, but it takes it up really quickly. So in the case of Christmas cactus, which do like to be root-bound and do prefer not to be disturbed, that's when you know. When you literally can't water them anymore, you're going to have to repot them. And I'm going to have to do that. I probably will divide one of them, but I'm going to just repot the other one intact. I don't grow red and pink. I grow yellow and kind of an orange color just because they were pretty and I liked them. That's entirely, you know, your choice. That's why there's so many colors. But I'm thinking maybe a purple one. I don't know. There's maybe I'll find somebody I can swap with. It's also tomorrow, by the way, is National Regifting Day. So if you have a sweater you'd like to pass along, say, to Aunt Marge.
I celebrate that every year, you know. Nellie.
Well, here's the thing. I'm a thrift shop person, have been my whole life, bought my favorite coat I ever had in my entire life in a Salvation Army thrift store it was an Army Navy thrift store in 19. And that hooked me. That meant that I wanted to go look at every rack I could ever see. Well, I don't look at every rack. I'm happy to say I'm not quite that obsessed. But it does lead you to some interesting finds, and therefore you are ultimately regifting when you gift somebody something that you got at a thrift store. So I've never had any real problem with it. I can also tell you that this is a secret. My mother was a teacher, so she had two drawers in a chest with gifts people had given her over the years that she didn't really know what to do with. more pencils and pens, more scarves, more gloves, more this, more that. So what else? Well, of course you're going to re-gift them. They're brand new and they're beautiful and somebody else can use them. You're not going to just let them sit there and rot, right? Well, we didn't. We let them. We made sure to give them to somebody else to take a look at. And in fact, my sister and I passed them around for a few times too. Oh, I like this. From Tupelo, hello, good morning, Marty. What would be good to go around my mailbox that looks pretty in the cooler weather? Pansies, maybe? Absolutely pansies. Snapdragons are another really good choice because they do well with pansies. And I'm going to say, why not go ahead and put a couple of daffodils in there, too? Just add that to the collection. They'll be there for a long time. You can switch the plants around them as time goes by. But yes, I think pansies are a great idea. I really love a clematis vine on a mailbox. If you're willing to maintain it, because it you don't want it to become so thick that your postal carrier can't get to the box. So you have to maintain those things. The others would be at a lower level but would be very pretty. So it'll be a good thing to consider some snapdragons or even foxglove. Why not? Tupelo's got that too. That'll be fun. John's on the road today. Let's talk to John. Hey, John, what's going on?
Hey, thank you for keeping me busy listening at you on the miles we do down the road. Santa's recruited us to all the packages this year.
Oh, thank you, John.
We're out here, yeah. I've got some, and I've been cutting them down is what I've been doing. Mm-hmm. Do I have to do that? And I cover them with straw. Or is it they got a natural protection by the way they wilt around that stalk and everything?
Yes, yes. You have to remove what freezes. That's about the most important thing to understand, because that material will get in the way of what's in the crown trying to grow back in the spring. So if yours don't ever freeze, that's one thing. If they do freeze, a lot of people cut them down before they freeze because they're just such a mess. Once that material has collapsed, talk about those cell walls. Once those cell walls freeze and explode, that whole banana plant, as you know, just collapses. And so if yours don't do that, you don't have to cut them back.
Okay. I have every year, and I just wondered if it, you know, they naturally were protected.
Depends on where you are. It depends on where you are.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It really
does.
North
Alabama.
Farther north, like in North Alabama, I think you're probably going to have to cut them back, because otherwise you will end up with the gloopy mess all over the yard.
Yeah.
And it doesn't compost very well either.
I understand. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Merry Christmas.
Happy New Year and all that.
Merry Christmas and every other holiday. If I don't talk to you before them, I appreciate you being here. And thank you so much for driving those presents. My goodness. We need your help. Thanks. That's great. You know, one of the things that we always talk about in this world is how stuff gets from place to place. Maybe a lot of people were not as conscious of it until some of the supply chain issues happened during the pandemic. But ooh, I'm going to confess something. One December day, about 100 years ago, I accepted an invitation to hitchhike to New York from New Orleans. And I have to tell you that I always knew truck drivers were my friends. They're absolutely my friends. It was a wonderful experience. I'm not telling you to go do that. You're different. Times are different. But I'll never regret that I said yes to that. And I'm also not sad that I didn't tell my mother I was going. So pay attention, children. All right, Corinne says, what would you recommend? Oh, that's lovely. She has a bonsai. Somebody's bonsai has overgrown, and she's trying to put it back in shape. I love this. I would pick the three strongest branches and trim them to about, maybe take off that one piece that's kind of winding its way across your table, get rid of that part, and then trim the others back so that it's a little bit more even looking. But I would not get rid of the sidebars, the side branches that are popping out. I would leave those because they may be, turn out to be very interesting. Just trim them back a little bit so they can get bushier. How interesting. You know, people do give us plants. I had a photo in my mail this morning from somebody that I love dearly who has been given a plant by somebody else who found it on the side of the road. Here, Merry Christmas. And that's how we get some of them. Well, this one's going to be, this is a Dracaena, and it's a thin cane Dracaena, which means that it was growing in too little light. So it only has a few leaves, and they're at the top of this very long, skinny cane. You know what I'm going to tell you. We're going to have to propagate that thing. We're going to either, if there's enough thickness to the cane, we'll do an air layer. We make a little slit in it, prop it open with a toothpick, and wrap wet sphagnum moss around it, tighten that up with plastic wrap above and below, and let the roots form in there, and then take that top off. Or we'll have to take it all off and root it. If it's smaller around than your finger, then you probably need to go ahead and just cut that part off and root it in some really good potting mix that you have mixed with perlite. I keep talking about perlite, and it's one of those things that you don't necessarily run into, but you can if you look for it. It's white, crunchy stuff, and it's in almost all of your potting mixes that you buy. But when you're trying to get something to root, and you really do need it to have an excellent bit of drainage, this is a good place to go. And it will help with some seed starting, but particularly with rooting things. So whether it's a Dracaena or some other kind of skinny cane that somebody's trying to get rooted into another plant. Now, then what do you do with the rest of it? Well, you got a container that's got maybe three of these canes coming out, and only one of them had any leaves on it. So you're going to cut the others down a little bit, make sure they're not mushy, make sure that they actually still have some integrity to them. Let them grow like they will in that container, and take the other one and cut it down, and then take 2-inch pieces of that cane and root those, because each of those individual pieces will also make a new plant in potentiality. I'm going to say 60% of them will root. You do the experiment and tell me. Do the experiment and tell me. Oh, my goodness. This is a good question. First one from this particular person. So welcome in. Thank you very much. What was the horrible black fungus all over the crepe myrtles last year? Well, it depends on whether it was on the leaves or on the trunks. Now, the question is, will it come back again? Yes, it will. If it's on the leaves, it's probably a simple case of insect feeding up in the canopy of the tree. And when they excrete the sugar that they have not been able to digest, it falls onto the leaves below. And that, in turn, welcomes the sooty mold, which is, frankly, in the air all the time anyway, lands in on those leaves and grows there. But if it's on the trunks of the crepe myrtle, that's more likely a bigger problem. By the way, what you do for that is to spray the tree for the insects, or you can use a systemic, or you can ignore it. People do all three of those things. The trunks, however, being blackened, are generally speaking a bigger problem. That's crepe myrtle bark scale. And crepe myrtle bark scale is a big problem because it can take the tree down completely. You want to treat it. First, you want to make a decision. If the trees are badly affected and they're not in a particularly important part of your landscape, you may want to be getting rid of them and planting something else, because this is a problem that does not go away without treatment, and it is ugly. And the scale insects, of course, what else happens is after the bark is black, then the insects will begin to come out from underneath the blackness, and you'll have little white ruffles of where they're living, okay? It's really not pleasant. And it's also not something that's easy to control. So if it's in a prominent place, somewhere you've got to take care of that tree and keep it, that's the time to use a systemic insecticide on it. But if it's not, I want you to seriously consider either planting another crepe myrtle that is resistant to this problem, or planting some other tree entirely. It's a tough decision, and you can take yourself to msucares.com, which is the Cooperative Extension website, and just search up crepe myrtle bark scale, and they'll tell you all about it. And you'll go, why do I have to do? Well, you have to do all that because the crepe myrtle bark scale is not going to leave on its own. Sadly, it's a big problem. Big problem. I am happy to tell you that today, among other pictures, we have a picture of Paul the poinsettia, who is 6 years old now and turning red at the top. But because the bottom, these are now stems, you know, it's a small tree now. And now I have put lights in the tree part. So it's just an odd choice for me. It makes me very happy, though, that the plant has made it this long, and that it's actually giving me the opportunity to enjoy it again and to help talk to you about why we grow poinsettias and how we grow poinsettias. Sometimes we don't realize how easy it is to grow stuff, and that this is one of the plants that's really easy to grow if you don't overwater it. Remember that from last week? Don't overwater your houseplants. They're not going to like it, and you won't like the results. Hey now, stick around. We got more to go here on the Garden Mama Show. Sweet with angel hair, pretty, pretty lights. Go to sleep.
just before daylight. And all these things and more, baby.
All these things.
Oh, that's what Christmas means to me, my love.
That's what Christmas means to me, my love.
Yeah.
Candles down low, lights up by the stove.
All right.
Christmas bells ringing, Christmas choir singing.
Ooh.
Christmas mistletoe.
If you are building a new home or remodeling an older home, Amazing Propane is for you. A propane tankless water heater, a propane generator, a propane gas grill and oven, propane fireplaces, and even lighting. Propane, such a versatile, clean, cost-effective source of energy for any home. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit mspropane.com. That's mspropane.com to learn more.
Superior. It's more than a name. It's a promise that we make to our customers to provide you the highest quality U.S. farm-raised catfish at your favorite restaurant, your family reunion, or on your dinner table. Hey, this is Steve Azar, and I want to let you know that with Superior Catfish, you know the next bite is as good as the first, time after time, made possible by your friends and neighbors here in Mississippi. Remember, there's catfish, then there is Superior Catfish.
Go with your gut.
Decorations are all hung by the fire.
Everybody's singing, all the bells are ringing out, and it's Christmas.
Ah, yes, children. Back in the days of record label contracts, you had to do a Christmas album. You know it's true. And Tom Petty said, okay, then, we'll do this one. Come on now. That's fun. That's just fun. It's the calmest you'll ever hear him be. It's true. Good grief. What fun. Today, in fact, my friends, in 1900 was the birth of quantum physics. That's right. And who did that? Well, that's our friend, you know. Every now and then we get that question. So what's going on at the Max Planck Institute? Well, there's all sorts of stuff going on at the Max Planck Institute all the time, but it was the physicist himself, the German Max Planck, who presented the theoretical derivation of his black body radiation law. What, you say, is the black body radiation law? Well, my friends, that's how did we know that we didn't know how to do this before? It estimates the temperature of a planet orbiting the sun. When they tell you that it's so many degrees on Venus and it's so many degrees on Jupiter, this is the bit of math and the bit of quantum mechanics that we use to figure that out. Not me personally, of course, but people who know how to do these things. This formula makes my head hurt just to look at, but that's because I don't do these things. I'm so glad that they do. There are a lot of things in this world that I'm real glad I didn't have to get good at because someone else did. And Max Planck did all of this when it comes to all of these crazy things, quantum physics, the things that we begin to understand. We wouldn't really understand, actually, how plants grow if we didn't have physics and if we didn't have, you know, you have to have both theoretical and applied. You know, people say, well, why would you want to study all that stuff if you're not going to do anything with it? Because the implications of what can be done with it are so huge. So that's why we're celebrating today the birth of quantum physics. Thank goodness for Max Planck. What would we do? On a lighter note, much lighter note, maybe not to some people, but tonight it will be the presentation of the Heisman Trophy. And for those of us who are kind of stuck in 2019, that's when Joe Burrow won it from LSU. Sad. I'm just hard to watch. Tough stuff. But there's always that. There's a great joy to winning the Heisman, and then there's so much pressure. There's just a tremendous amount of being singled out to be that good. Well, you are that good. That's how come you won. But what's next is always the question. If you win best dancer when you're nine, you know, what do you do after that? When you're the best football player and you're maybe 19, what do you do after that? Good grief, hard stuff. That's why you need something that puts your feet underneath you and keeps them there. That's why, for example, we were just looking at Corinne's bonsai that she has inherited. People who do really intense amounts of work tend to garden because it's a way of relaxing. It's a way of using other muscles. It's a way of putting a different perspective onto the things in your life. And frankly, if you're going to grow bonsai, it's probably because you like to use scissors and clippers and pruners and maybe even scalpels. There are a lot of surgeons that do bonsai because of that. It's a very fine motor skill process. It's not, you know, those of us who might prefer to be out with the sawzall cutting down a holly bush are probably not going to like bonsai quite as much and vice versa. But that's why it's such a wide area. You can get your comfort from any number of places in the garden world. Sometimes it's just the setting. Talking about the whole business of the bones of the garden, one of the reasons why people love fire pits so much is because you can go outside at night and build a little fire, you know, and it illuminates everything around it, and everything looks cuter, better, funner, more interesting with a little bit of fire around it. And I'm not telling you to set fire to your house. I'm talking about a fire pit in your garden with some friends, perhaps some cocoa, perhaps. I think yesterday was National Cocoa Day. I saw a lot of things about that. Maybe that was a good choice. On the other hand, maybe an Irish whiskey is your choice. On the other hand, maybe you just like to go out there and play guitar and sing. It's the idea being that you're going to use the space more because it's available to you, and also because, frankly, it's illuminated and maybe a little bit warmer than the area around it. That's part of the garden bones. It gives you the opportunity. That's why people put kitchens outdoors. It's not just because they fry fish and don't want it in the house. Although that is part of it. But it's because it's a comfortable place to be, and it's a way of being outdoors at the same time that you're having all of the, or at least some of the conveniences of the indoors. It makes a lot of sense to me. I'm one of those people that keeps a bucket by the back door with the things in it that I need to take out into the garden. But yeah, it would be nice if there was somewhere else that I could just hang all that stuff. I need it close by me, but you might not. You might want to create a place that is like an alcove in the garden to put your tools. May not be a formal potting shed. It might just be a space. But that gives you a destination when you go outdoors. And it also becomes part of what is illuminating your landscape when there's not, say, roses blooming or pansies all over the place, or the lawn may not even look that great. It's all of those other pieces, the things that stay there. It's the curve of the bed. It's the opportunity to walk from one place to another and find something else to look at. Years and years ago, there's a plant that is called Artesia, and it blooms. It's a little evergreen plant. It's about 2 feet tall, and the flowers are almost inconspicuous, but they hang on little bitty pedicels hanging from the leaves. But when they turn into red berries, the whole thing lights up. And when you see a bed of them, your mood changes. That's one of those winter things. You don't see that any other time. You only see that in the winter. And that's really the opportunity to go around a curve and see that in somebody's garden. It's a big deal. It also, sometimes that curve in the path, you know there's something out there and you want to go see what it is. So trust me, if you have those curves in the path, don't disappoint your guests. Put something out there to look at, even if in my case, it's a tire swing. It doesn't matter what it is. Something out there to take a look at. I have a lot of information for you today about things that are going on in the world of science, and perhaps this is the biggest one of all. I listen to the BBC, and I'm interested in. You know, I'm weird. I want to know the news from Nairobi. I mean, I'm interested in what's going on someplace else. Don't get a chance to do that a whole lot. But the other day I was attempting to listen to some news, and suddenly they're telling me all about the epic migration of the humpback whale. And I'm thinking, don't they migrate anyway? Aren't they some of the world's biggest travelers? Well, yes. But again, because we're able, it's like our bear friend, we're able to put a note on there and say, okay, here's how we're going. It's an Apple AirTag, okay, but it's the predecessor to all of those things to take us where we're going. It's a tracking device. it was seen in the Pacific Ocean, this particular whale, this very one, not just a whole bunch of them, this very one was seen in 2017 off of Colombia in the Pacific Ocean, and then disappeared for several years. Then literally more than 8,000, I mean, more than 8,500 actually miles later, 13,000 kilometers, near Zanzibar in the Indian Ocean. Same one, same, you know, little bing, bing. They've never seen this before. Now, I'm telling you because I love this notion of putting the tags on critters. They may do this. There may be some of them that are super duper and they do it all the time. We have no idea. But now we have a mystery to investigate. And we're going to find out. The Tanzania Cetaceans Program says it's truly impressive. And they're going to study it some more. So if you want to go to Zanzibar and study the whales, I say sign up now. All right, now, John Lennon's going to take us out. We'll be back.
Nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. Do you have an old, outdated website or just a Facebook page and still not bringing in customers? Targeted digital advertising from SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's highly trained and trusted staff is the answer. We're ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305. Or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time.
Yellow here for Barone.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome in. Thank you so much for being here. Sheila in Tupelo has sent a picture of a lovely arum plant, A-R-U-M, and she says this is a really good description of this plant. I've been at this house for 5 years. It randomly grows. It truly does randomly grow. Doing well right now, even with all the cold weather. Yes, it is hardy. It doesn't like great heat as much, and it's not drought tolerant, but it's a lovely plant, and it's one that I would certainly encourage you to continue to keep and maybe spread around a little bit, because it is nice. It does, but it does grow sort of randomly. It grows in its own time, let's put it that way. It's not going to respond to you and me, but I like it. It's a nice plant. That's a really good one. Really lovely, lovely. We've been talking today about crepe myrtles and the problems that you're going to see there, whether it's black leaves happens to be from the insects that would be feeding up in the canopy, or whether it's crepe myrtle bark scale that really does discolor and ruin the trunks of the trees in terms of their, for example, right now we're looking at crepe myrtles that are peeling their bark that are so pretty, and now we're not seeing that so much. You see it when they get the bark scale on them, the whole thing just seals up, and it doesn't make that beautiful that beautiful effect of the peeling bark. Now, some people will send me notes every year that say, why is the bark peeling? Well, actually, it's supposed to. You paid extra for that. It's a quality of the crepe myrtle that the breeders have incorporated into more varieties over the maybe last 50 years than did before. Today is Roast Chestnuts Day, and I'm not embarrassed to tell you that I have never roasted a chestnut. I'm pretty sure I've eaten them a couple of times, but I'm not impressed. It's not something I just dislike. It's not like parsnips. I don't like parsnips. I don't like rutabagas. Y'all just go ahead. Tell me I'm wrong. That's fine. I'll argue with you. But I've never roasted chestnuts. It's a great song, you know, chestnuts roasting on the open fire and all that. But it's not my choice. Chestnut what? You know, what do you do then? Y'all tell me. There's somebody out here who loves them is going to send me a really scree this week in my email, mamaonair@yahoo.com. I enjoy those. That's a lot of fun. Interesting part about the arum, I had no idea. I knew it was called Italian lily, which it's not. It's in that sort of that family. It is sort of its parents, maybe great parents were from Italy, but I had never seen it called cuckoo, and it's a cuckoo plant. But I don't know what is that. Maybe it's because it grows randomly. I don't know, but I like that. I'll hang on to that notion. Today is National Bouillabaisse Day. I will eat that. I was interested to find out, though, that I guess because I discovered French cooking and Julia Child all at the same time. I had no idea about either one of them, and then suddenly she's on television cooking it, and we in beautiful cookbooks that I'd never approached, and all that sort of stuff, very complicated things. But her bouillabaisse, of course, is a fish and shellfish and vegetables and all that in a broth. But it came originally because, and it is a fresh fish, it's a fresh catch stew. That's one thing that makes it bouillabaisse as opposed to something else. But it was originally the Provence, where it originates from. The fishermen there couldn't sell the bony rockfish that they caught, so they made bouillabaisse out of it. Many, many things that we hear, you know, that we love so much turn out not to have been necessarily the first on the list. And I'm thinking of okra and tomatoes. We didn't, until we had them both in great quantities at the same time, no one cooked them together. But then we did. And the whole business of smothered okra and whether or not you add tomatoes to it and all that, those are all big issues in Southern cooking. But it's only because we had enough of them to do that with. And because, frankly, at a certain point, you can't really sell the okra that's a foot long and kind of hard, but you can cook it into various and sundry things. Oh, speaking of that, I'm sure y'all have, because I've gotten my Baker's Creek heirloom seed catalog. If you haven't, you should order one. It's worth it just for the art. It's magnificent. One of the things they're using to promote it this year is an okra that is literally as long as this guy's arm that's growing it, and he swears it's tender. I don't believe it. Somebody else besides me needs to grow that one and tell me. If you can come up with a solid pod of okra that is literally a foot long and tender, I want some. But I don't know. I mean, I guess it'd be great if you were going to fry okra. You'd have a whole lot of pieces in one pod. So that would probably be, maybe that's why we fry okras, because they got too long and too hard to do anything else with. I don't know. An interesting dilemma. But Baker Creek has tried it, believe me. If they're saying that this is the tender okra, they actually have tried it, and it is for them. Sometimes things don't grow the same at my house as they do at other people's houses. So you'll have to make the decision on that one and let me know about it. I look forward to hearing all about it. Speaking of all of that stuff, it's really one of the things that happens in the garden is our desire to use it up, wear it out, make it do, you know, or wear it out. Use it up. Let me try that one again. Use it up, make it do, or use it up, or wear it out, okay? If you can't do those things, we feel less. If we feel like we're not repurposing, if we feel like we're not recycling things like soil, we get kind of upset with ourselves sometimes. This week, Will asked an interesting question. He wants to know if he can use the same soil from his tomatoes. He grows his tomatoes in great big containers. He's got two different, basically, tubs that he grows them in. And he wants to know if he can continue to grow in those same containers in the same soil. That's the first question. Then the second question is whether or not he can grow by putting in fertilizer, if he can ameliorate the soil conditions, or if there's too much fertilizer to put in before you're going to plant. These are such good questions. I'm going to give you the answers briefly here, and if you have more you want to talk about, I can certainly do that with you either today or another day. Tomatoes are one of the plants that we cannot grow in the same soil 2 years in a row because we have a pest that is absolutely predictable. The root knot nematode is always in tomatoes. Wherever they're grown, they're going to have root knot nematodes living there. But it isn't until the second year that their population builds to such an extent that we can have a problem with them. And the problem we have with them is that the tomatoes just sit there. They are stunted because the root knot nematodes are doing what it sounds like they're doing. They're punching into the roots with their little beaks, and they're creating food sources for themselves out of your roots, and then in turn they're building a little house around themselves, so they make a knot. And when you take that plant out of the ground after, you know, 6 or 8 months when it still hasn't grown and you're mad at it, you yank it out of the ground, it really does look like you have something growing on the roots because you do. But it's the roots themselves that have been deformed by the root knot nematodes. They're just lumps all the way down. They don't make nice, beautiful, healthy roots that we expect. So what do we do about that? There are some chitin things that can be used for that, but they're not really very available. It's a better choice to go ahead and take that soil out, grow something else in it. It's still fine. You can grow just about anything but potatoes. You can grow in it because potatoes have the same problems as tomatoes in that same soil. But you can grow anything else you want to in it. In terms of putting fertilizer in or preparing the soil before you get to the time to grow it, that's a good idea. But remember, each time it rains, the nitrogen in it is going to wash out the bottom, and you're not going to have it available to the plant when you get ready to grow it. So that's my thoughts on all of these things. You can put in too much fertilizer if you're going to put in nitrogen because you'll end up losing that nitrogen. But you can also build up too many other things in there because you've got soil already that's got some nutrients left over in it. You start adding your fertilizers to it, and unless you're doing a little soil testing along the way, I don't think you have a really good chance of creating a soil that's good for the tomatoes. So all of that soil is perfectly usable. It's just not usable for tomatoes or potatoes. Another thing that you might not remember is that we do, in fact, rotate things like lima beans. So somebody will tell you, I grew these great lima beans a couple of years, they were wonderful, and then this year they just didn't do anything. Well, the same soil issues, not the same creature, but the same sort of soil issue can impact that lima bean. So you'll move them to another row. It takes to the third year for them to be affected, but it's really handy to move them back and forth every so often. Some folks will just repeat tomatoes where the lima beans were and then put the lima beans where the tomatoes were. However it works out for you. Let's see now. This is Bobby in Monticello. I brought my lemon tree in 2 weeks ago. The leaves were already starting to fall, and now it's blooming. Yeah, that's what they'll do. The warmth in your house has triggered the flowers, and I fully expect that in my living room, which is not very warm, it'll be another month or so of those warmer conditions before I will get a look at the blooms. What I consider this is the reason why we bring them indoors. You see, if we don't bring them indoors, they never get that warmth. Well, they don't get the warmth until later on. So even if the tree is hardy where you are, it's not going to have the opportunity to bloom until the temperatures warm up. So that's one reason why we grow them in greenhouses and containers, but it's also why we bring them in the house. We don't slow down their progress during the year. We give them the opportunity to be a little bit warmer and, like yours is doing, to bloom. And doesn't the house smell nice? Oh, my goodness. That's delightful. That's just fun. Beautiful picture over the reservoir. Oh, those clouds. I'm telling you, y'all, I'm just enjoying this morning so, so much. Kathy's got this beautiful shot. The sun is almost coming through the clouds, but it's really a beautiful halo around it. It's just lovely. Really pretty, pretty things. We're so lucky we have a chance to have sky to look at and open sky over our heads to take photographs of. I like that. I think there's also another thing I needed to let Will know, and I believe I did this in my note to him, but I may not have. So, I love that he is using some of his local soil in the mix in this big, it's a cattle feeder thing, you know. He's using some of his local soil. I do that too. It helps particularly if your soil tends to drain really fast or if you have a potting mix that drains really fast, a planting mix, you're adding a little bit of native soil will help you not have to water as often. It doesn't necessarily, you know, you might put in a quarter of native soil, even less maybe, just depending on how it feels. But it gives you the opportunity to have a little bit better response down the way. And that is to say, when we've got a soil that is draining really well all the time, that's great. Basically, that's Ohio. You know, that's loam. And here, our soil might be a little heavy, but when you mix it with that planting mix that you've prepared for these big pots, it's an excellent amendment. It is one of the things about heavy soils is that they tend to have a whole lot of minerals in them. In addition to the water-holding properties, they do provide a lot of the trace elements that our plants need and we may or may not be getting from other sources. So it's a good one to have. I have another bit of information for you today. I'm really tickled about this. Until I discovered and was informed, I didn't discover it for myself, that I have an autoimmune condition, I never really thought that much about it. You know, didn't really give all that a lot of thought. But now, of course, like anything else, if you're interested in it, you not only hear more, but you think more about it. University of Colorado at Boulder is telling us that they now know where the dials are. You know, if you think about it, just like the board that runs this program has levels that you can go up and go down on, and you can sometimes turn them and sometimes you push them. It just depends. But things can change, and it is a variable system that is intentionally that way. Frankly, that's one reason why we all say everybody sounds better in FM. There's more that can be modulated in our voices in this circumstance than there is in the other kind in the AM world. That's part of the joy of understanding that things are variable. But when you think about your autoimmune system, you might not think of that. They have looked towards the piece of the interferon pathway. What we understand is that if you have, for example, if you have long COVID and your neighbor does not, why does one person get sicker than the other or sicker for longer than the other? And it has been thought that it is an autoimmune response, but what does that tell us? Well, it doesn't tell us a whole lot. It just gives us a thought. But now, thanks to the folks at University of Colorado Boulder, we now understand a lot more about the interferon pathway. That is, when the cells sense an infection coming, they release a protein, that's the interferon. That's why you will sometimes meet people who have had interferon therapies, okay, because they have, it is a reparative form, okay, for our bodies to use. But what they've understood before was a little bit shallow. Now we understand that there are these pieces of that that are protein variants that actually flip the switches. So that tells us in the research world, the person who is having long COVID and much worse experience is not having those, they're not working. The switches are not flipping on that we think of as self-protective. So you don't know if it'll turn out that you need to have another therapy, you need to have another interferon thing, you don't know. But the point is we now know more about what we can learn to make these things work better. This whole business of long COVID has impacted lots and lots and lots of people and in ways that we don't even really know how to measure yet. So if we can get back to the origin of what it is that's turning on your system or not to react that way, maybe we can fix it. That would be wonderful. And I look forward to hearing more about it. This whole business of being able to turn the dial and change something is very, very important in when it comes to our health. We'd like for them to be able to turn a lot of those dials. Certainly that one would be marvelous to have a little bit of information for. Oh, somebody asked me, this was a good question. I just got this on my phone this morning. What do you feed poinsettias? What do I feed my poinsettia Paul? Well, I don't feed them anything when they come brand new because they have had enough fertilizer in the 6 months that before they get to your house, they don't need anything. But in the subsequent years, yes, I have used, because you want to keep nice healthy leaves going and you are growing this plant, this poinsettia, outdoors in a container for a lot of the year, not all year, but a lot of the year, you want it to be growing very healthily and fast. So that gives you the opportunity really to use the soluble fertilizers that you might be fertilizing anything else with 3-4 times a month, maybe not as often if you're not able to, but that's really the way to go. Then when it comes in the house, I put the slow release flour formula into the pot, and then every time I water it, it gets a little bit more of a dose. Outdoors, soluble. Indoors, the part that's already just basically like an Osmocote. It's that kind of thing. All right, now. Oh, now, I didn't even know. But see, the Beach Boys had to do an album, too. It's really not bad. We'll be right back.
With the half a dozen deer with a Rudy to lead. He's got to wear his goggles because the snow really flies. And he's cruising every bad with a little surprise. It's the little Saint Nick.
Little Saint Nick.
It's the little Saint Nick.
Little Saint Nick.
Merry Christmas, Saint Nick.
Christmas comes this time.
Running a business is tough. If you're struggling with HR benefits and payroll, you're not alone. Many businesses just don't have the resources to keep up. That's where MWG Employer Services comes in. We provide a full range of employer services with everything from payroll to benefits to HR services and compliance, and can create a custom plan that fits your needs and budget. We're a Mississippi-based company that can help you focus on what you do best, growing your business. Call MWG Employer Services today at 601-206-7966 or go to MWG Employer Services.
Harvested in June and July, Mississippi-grown sweet corn arrives just in time for your cookout or outdoor get-together. But you better be quick. Once Mississippi-grown sweet corn appears on your local farmers market shelves, it disappears just as fast. There are so many ways to cook and eat Mississippi-grown sweet corn, but of course our favorite is corn on the cob.
Sweet corn, just one of the many foods the Mississippi farmer grows for you. The farm.
For those of you who follow me on social media, you will have noticed that I have changed my profile picture for this week. It is Darlene Love and, yes, the one and only Lil Steven, or as it says, featuring Lil Steven and the Disciples on Jimmy Fallon this week on Wednesday night. I will be taking a disco nap so that I can stay up and watch Darlene Love sing. I'll do anything. Somebody offers me a plane ticket to Vegas, I'm going to see Darlene Love, and I don't do that. So her music is so strong and so real, and frankly, I don't even know that I liked it when I was a kid. I just think that she has persevered and really makes such a statement. I look forward to seeing what they do. So y'all join me. We can have a text fest. During Jimmy Fallon, I will be awake, I promise. It's terrible, isn't it? Will doesn't have this problem. Will only goes to work at reasonable hours, and you don't have six cats to chase around. So you can actually stay up and look at things if you want to. Thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been fun.
Appreciate you. You know, I think one of the things about Christmas really is how we fill in the gaps, because each year there's people that were there that aren't there anymore. There are people that are there that you'd never met until now. And I think that whole notion of the Christmas table is kind of summed up. A friend of mine, if I had known this, I would have led with her photograph today because she's a professional. That's a photograph of the river and the sky. And it says, Mississippi, where y'all means all. And that's exactly what Christmas is about. It's about what we're all about. So I appreciate you being here and even having to get up early on a Saturday. The rest of us like it. We can't help ourselves. Gardeners really don't. I think before there was such a concern about West Nile virus and other things, that the mosquito problems that happen at dawn and dusk, a lot of us really liked to garden at dawn and dusk, but we've had to pull back from that for our own health. And unfortunately, we don't get to see all those things. So the fire pits and the sky early in the morning and those kind of things have come to mean a little bit more, I think, to us as time goes by, because we don't take them for granted so much. I am happy to tell you that I've been saving this one. One of my very, very favorite things at this time of the year are oranges. Now, in my world, it's Louisiana Naval oranges. I recognize that that's not everybody's orange. Okay, I get that. But in my world, it can also be the magnificent, just incredible naval oranges that come from Florida as well as from California. But they're in the Big Bend. Don't let me leave them out. We can talk Texas red grapefruits if y'all want to. But I was intrigued because there's expressions that are stuck in my mind that I don't always know why I know them, and I don't know exactly why they are there. In cantar tu media, but then the word is naranja. And this is the phrase in Spanish that means it's essentially finding your soulmate. Your Medea Naranja is the other half of you. And the other half that it's referring to is an orange. The other half of that, Naranjo was the first word for orange. It's from Sanskrit, Naranga, means orange tree. I mean, that's what it was. And so the question becomes, how do we get from there to orange to, Melancio, which if you have any friends with that name in the Italian world, their name actually means orange vendor. I mean, how did we do all that? It's one of the wonderful things that tells us how popular oranges were. Once anybody discovered them, they put a name on them and started using them for various and sundry things. The old French word is actually pume orange, which just means fruit. That's what we like. We like that fruit. So they named it that. But when we get all the way to English, it's the 13th century. And believe it or not, the color didn't come along until the 16th century as a word. So we have oranges and we have oranges. But the idea is that when you cut an orange in half, the segments only fit back together in one particular way. And that is why that is your soulmate. That is your other half. That is your orange, that is your Medea Naranja. And it is really very, very sweet image. So when you see those chocolates that are chocolate-covered oranges and you see, remember that it did come from a very romantic place at one time. Somebody invented all those things so that you could share a little bit of love maybe without saying it. You gave somebody the orange, they probably knew what you were talking about when it was a more common part of our parlance. So I like that. It's something else that we can do for one another. And by the way, if you run into Louisiana Naval oranges, enjoy them and bring me some because they're real good. Really, really good. All right, now, so what about citrus? Well, citrus is a whole thing in itself, and we do have to talk about if you're going to buy citrus for somebody, then if you're going to do that and you don't know them and you don't know how cool or warm it is where they are, buy a kumquat. And I'm going to tell you there are sweet kumquats and there are sour kumquats. I hate to tell you this, the sour kumquat is a prettier tree, little bitty tree, be like 3 feet tall. Because I don't know why, I can't really tell you that, but the fruits themselves are different. They're oval as opposed to round as opposed to oval. Different ones are a little bit different. But if you have the opportunity to do that for somebody, it is a wonderful indoor tree, and it's a plant you would put outside most of the summer, but you can keep it indoors, and it has a real serious bit of integrity. It will hold on to its leaves better than some of the others. My lemon tree, you may have a Meyer, you may have a Pioneer, you may have any number of other varieties. Over the years, they've all gotten very popular. Some of them are really big. I had to cut mine to bring it in the house this time. And so now that's made it actually into more of a pleasant tree shape, and it's got lights on it and, doing all that with it just to keep it interesting to me. But if you don't have that kind of space, citrus trees can be the reason to build a greenhouse, and it doesn't have to be a big one. It can be 4x8, and you could keep two citrus trees in it. Now, you would soon wish you had more space, because as soon as you get a greenhouse, it's like getting a water feature. As soon as you have it, you want a little bit more. You want it to be a little bigger. You want a little bit more, put a few more things in there. So consider that. But if all you want to do is keep that citrus tree, you can do that. I have seen some really clever designs. For instance, if you're if your heater vent, your dryer vent comes out into a space, you can always build a little house around that and put the citrus tree there, but then you have to dry your clothes a lot. So you may or may not be able to keep that temperature up. Little greenhouse is easier for doing that. I was tickled to find out, we always think about greenhouses being known as orangeries, and that's true. That's what they were named when we first began bringing these fruits into our environment. We began with a glass house that had to be created, basically, you know, all that engineering had to come along to help us understand how we were going to keep them alive. But again, it goes directly to the idea that we want to keep that tree as growing as consistently as possible. And in fact, somewhere along in there, everything changes a little bit. I have more thorns on my tree than I used to, but it's not the graft growing up. It's just that some lemons, this particular variety, some lemons are thornier than others. But one of the things that I have noticed is that over the years, the leaves have gotten larger, not smaller. So I must be doing something right with the fertilizer part. If you want to grow some citrus, I think this is a great time to do. You know, another plant that I've seen just lately and really hadn't thought about that much as a holiday gift plant, but why not, is a miniature rose. They are very hardy. They are beautiful for weeks and weeks in their little containers in the house. It's kind of like an African violet in that it's something that you might think of as something somebody's going to collect. But on the other hand, it's a beautiful plant just if you only had one. So you give them this lovely little miniature rose, and then come springtime or whenever they're in the mood to, they plant it outdoors in a big container. And the next thing you know, they've got an ongoing plant in their yard that you started as a nice, wonderful gift plant earlier in that particular season. So why not? Scandinavian, by the way, there's a bunch of different parts of this, but the Scandinavian word is probably the most known. You'll see things that have appelsin, appelsin, and that is actually, strangely enough, in Scandinavian languages, that relates to Chinese apples, which are oranges. Go figure. I'm thinking that they didn't have Marco Polo to tell them what they were getting from the trip. Somebody just sent them a box and said, "Here, you know." I know that happens with people with pears. You'll be gifted a box of pears, and you don't realize that they're all pears because they don't look the same. And there are keys to that. So if that box shows up, call your friend that sent them to you and say, "Send me the list. What's in here?" Because they are very different. They're not all the same thing at all. No question about that. I love the idea that orange is a migrant word because it does literally come through Sanskrit, and everywhere that anybody took the fruit or the tree, somebody named it some version of that. You know, it was morange for a long time. Then we dropped the M. Why did we do that? I don't know. No, somebody just changed the way they pronounced it. My family were Neals. My father said we are Neals because when our family came to this country, they didn't want to be O'Neill or McNeil or anybody else's Neal. They wanted to be American Neals. That's why we're Neals. I don't even know what they would. It's just an interesting story, and it always made me feel very glad that they made that decision, you know. Growing up with the Hatfields and the McCoys, I didn't want to be either one of those. So I'm not trying to offend y'all. I'm just saying, in Mississippi, y'all means all. So just remember that part of it. I hope that when you go to your garden center this week, and I know you will because you got a last-minute gift you got to get for somebody, you're going to be picking up something or another. And in my case, I got to tell you, this is really the week to walk those aisles and meet somebody. You are not going to have a better experience in the middle of the winter than to meet the manager of your favorite garden center or the person that's been the clerk there that long, because that's who's working there in December. That's the folks that are there. You may even run into the owner. Those are the people that you want to know at that garden center, but you're not going to be able to meet them the third week of March. They're running so fast they don't even know when dinner is, okay? So get to know those folks now. Ask a few questions. Some of those questions you had from last year that you're still trying to understand. How come the spurge has taken over my lawn? You know, why? We talked last week a little bit about pre-emerging your lawn to control the burr weeds. this is the time to go talk to that person at the garden center when you have time to talk to them and they have time to talk to you. They can show you the choices. There'll be granular choices. There'll be liquid choices. There'll be some things that are easier to put out than others, some things that are probably more effective than others. By all means, give yourself the opportunity to go and meet your garden center people. Talk to them about fertilizer. At this point in the year, they'd much rather talk about something else besides Christmas trees, I promise. Absolutely. Ron from Ocean Springs. Okay, I'll send that to you. He wants to know about that spelling. I'm going to send him the Spanish phrase. One of the things that we don't always think about at this point in the year really is all the other stuff, of course, that are in the garden centers for us to appreciate. Come on now, bird feeders. I mean, we're talking about it's one of the top five hobbies in the country. You really cannot go wrong buying somebody a bird feeder. You also have to realize that this might be the time for that really good pair of pruners, the hand shears, the one that's, you know, not $5, the one that is actually costing you a little bit more money and therefore is worthy of being a gift, but is also something you're going to keep. Whether you give it to that person or you keep it for yourself, either way, this is the time of year to do that, and I hope that you will. Janice says, my beautiful two Meyer lemons, beautiful, from New Albany. Good on her. You know she's got that inside. That tree is not going to live outside. The tree is going to live inside. That's really beautiful. Janice, I love it, and they're so perfect. They're just the most beautiful thing. And, you know, we talked a little bit in at other times about where Meyer lemons come from. They are a hybrid. Yes, citrus can cross-pollinate, but when they cross-pollinate, it affects their seeds, not so much their fruit, and not their color, not their fruit itself. So this is where Meyer lemons came from, was a seed of a lemon that crossed up and with an orange, and we ended up having a little bit different taste. It's not quite as bright as a lemon that I like, but neither is it, frankly, orange juice. You know, it's a very distinct, makes the best pie in the world, and it's a delightful one. Really fun stuff. Question about dormant sprays for fruit trees. Depends on what you're trying to control. I'll talk about that when we come back. Thank you, Jim and Madison, for sending that to me. I'm going to send Ron this magnificent Encontrar tu Medida. Ah, yes, indeed. Naranja. We'll be right back.
Oh, I love her so.
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive safely.
You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. But what if the online information about your business is incorrect, or even worse, not very flattering? If your online presence isn't great, you may be losing customers. SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's trusted and highly trained team is the answer. We're ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
Hi, I'm Jay.
Well, I got a little garden in my backyard, a little hoeing, a little mowing, but the work ain't hard. It's the cutest little place that you ever did see. I've been working in the garden till I turned green.
Yes, Jim, dormant oil can be helpful. You can substitute neem. You can substitute ultrafine horticultural oil. What you're doing is spraying those fruit trees before bud break so that they can have fewer pests in the coming year. Doesn't the one you use doesn't matter as much as the fact that you do it. How about that? Oh, my goodness. I had to have Green Man today. There's something about when gardeners give gifts, a lot of the time we either give a Christmas card, a Happy New Year card, a plaque, a thing to hang out on the wall. There's Green Man ideologies and depictions and everything all over the place. And there's a reason for that. We really love this notion of the spirit of the woods coming to us and being able to be seen or being captured. I was never afraid of the dancing trees in The Wizard of Oz. They didn't scare me. The flying monkeys pretty much scared me, but the trees not so much. So I think that we have an affection for it that is so tremendous. You may know the actor Graham Greene played the medicine man Leonard on Northern Exposure, and I'm always reminded at this time of the year. I went in somewhere and there was people trying to get everybody to get a Green Man and put it on their wall and do all this and. There's a reason that we want this, but we don't always know why. So I thought I would bring you the why. Leonard says at this point, have you ever heard of low self-esteem? That's what the Green Man is. In our mythology, they're like gremlins, but they're really a manifestation of a sense of inadequacy. You are eminently lovable person, but the truth is that you created this Green Man. You know, you put that picture there, you drew that, you saw it in the tree, you saw it in the leaves, and that is the embodiment of your own dissatisfaction with yourself. Leonard goes on to say, it's your demon. Low self-esteem is the root cause of the pain and misery in practically all of the world. It's what evil is. So Ed says to Leonard, how do I get rid of this? And he says, well, love casts out fear. You have to learn to love yourself first. This is really true. This is the time of year when we have a tendency to look at what someone else is doing, to find a gift for somebody, or to hope that someone gives us something, or these all of these things that are, quite frankly, petty and trivial. The thing you need to understand the most is that if you go forth in the day and you feel well that day, you feel solid about yourself, you have a positive mission in your heart, then you know you're going to be okay. Gifts come and go. I was kind of tickled by Senior Mr. Kelsey this week saying he could spend $10 if it was a gift that would touch Taylor Swift's heart. He wasn't going to spend $100,000. I wasn't going to do her any good. And that is the truth. It doesn't make any difference where the money is. It makes a difference where your heart is and where your thought is and where your mind is. And frankly, that's what this is all about. This is the main thing in the world that matters. It's the thing you're going to hold on to for the rest of your life. I really, really like that we have so many things that we want to do that keep those generational concepts going. Your parents may have told you you were wonderful, and they may not have. But guess what? What you do today and what you do for your friends and for your children is what makes the difference. Deb in Wesson says, my dad had what he had. He had what he called a candy pear. Is there another name for it, or is it an Asian pear? I think that's an Asian pear. I think it may have even been a variety of one at one time. See, keeping up the tradition. Holding on to what Dad did and taking it forward, the positive stuff. That's what we got to do, isn't it? There are a lot of things, you know, coming up tomorrow in this world is National Ugly Sweater Day, which we kind of think is every day at this time of the year. But if you got one that lights up, tomorrow is the day to wear it. And I would be hard-pressed not to tell you that tomorrow is International Tea Day. So if you have not been to the website for the Great Mississippi Tea Company recently, you should get over there and check out what those guys are doing. They're good folks, and it's another case where you're looking at something local. You're looking at something that is not everywhere else. And that's really what makes a difference. That's what gives your bouillabaisse a different taste from everybody else's. That's what gives your garden design the thing that makes it yours and the thing that you probably want to share and pass along to other people. Here's where the curve goes. Here's where I put the chair. Here's how I'm going to sit down over here. And by the way, here's the Christmas tree for the birds. I didn't get to do that this year, but there's still a week left. I might. If you have not sliced oranges and strung cranberries and done those things for the tree outside for the birds, you're missing such a fun time. And again, it's not something that's going to break your bank to do. It's going to be something that you're going to enjoy, and indeed, anybody that you get to help you out with it is going to like it too. On this particular day in history, my friends, it's hard to know which way to go, but I got to tell you that in 2019, the most expensive California property was $150 million. You know what it was? It was the mansion where they filmed the Beverly Hillbillies. Now, things have changed. I have a feeling even that place is probably worth a whole lot more than that by now. But interesting, isn't it, that when we put the, it's one of those things that just kind of crashes into itself in your mind. You know, you think about, I'm growing this plant. Turns out these flowers are worth a whole lot of money, but they're worth more than money to me. And that particular mansion was certainly worth more than any amount of money to everybody that ever enjoyed that show and watched it get filmed. Plus, it had the echo, you know, it had the antebellum columns and all that on the front of it. So it made it familiar and made it something that would have been an object of importance to somebody that, I don't know, came out of the hillbilly world. My family did, so I can speak that way. There are so many things to be done in the garden. I hope that you're making sure that you've got some stuff that, if you haven't taken a few of your red berries inside, take a few, but don't take all of them. Leave some for the birds. Give yourself the opportunity when the weather improves. You know, we're into another wet patch, then it will dry up again. That's really the point to go out and make sure, because they will be coming up. All your daffodils, all the bulbs that you planted will be there. Gives you an opportunity to get out of the house and away from the food and maybe some of the relatives. Go out and do a little fertilizing in the garden. It's really good for the plants and probably be good for you too. I hope that you will be with us again next Saturday, because I look forward. This Saturday always, right before Christmas, is generally speaking a whole lot of recipes and a whole lot of the plants I want for next year and how come I didn't do this year and am I going to do it next year? And, of course, some of that last-minute gifting. So we will do all of those things next week and then enjoy moving up towards the 25th. For those of you who are wondering, I had two people write to me this week and say, aren't you going to celebrate Hanukkah? Well, Hanukkah doesn't start until Christmas night this year, so I will, but I won't be here. And it's one of those pieces of calendar history you could probably spend your whole life studying. How come one civilization went one way and another went the other way? I don't know the answers to it, but I do know that this one is the lunar calendar is what brings us the wonderful opportunity for Hanukkah, whereas it's not, and the solar calendar is what we live by, so we just kind of run those Hanukkah celebrations in amongst everything else. I am not really, I'm not going to be able to get away from this topic of bones either. I got a few more things for you for next week that I've been looking at, and that is really what seems to work and what doesn't seem to work. Part of what you're doing is trying to see what's not there. Is there room, if I plant this tree here, for example, will there be room for it to form its full canopy, or is it going to block everything else, or do I need a focal point there? Those are the decisions that we all have to make. Let's see, Sandra wants to know if it's too late to plant daffodils. Nope, not at all. Get after it. Get busy. They'll be glad it's going to rain this week. Thank you all so much. Thank you very much, Will. Y'all come back next week. We'll have a little bit more fun here on the Garden Mama Show.
Weekend Gardening with the Garden Mama is a production of TeleSouth Communication.
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Between the blue sky and green grass, there's a Mississippi cattleman making sure the food you need is on your local grocery store shelves. Whether it's a big juicy steak or hamburgers for your backyard cookout, our food starts right here. Because for these cattlemen, it's not just a job, it's caring for the animals that make up our nation's food supply. Just one of the many commodities a Mississippi farmer grows for you. The Farm Families of Mississippi.
Hey, this is Bob.
A Super Talk Mississippi media production.